WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Prosecutors in Paris say they've arrested five more suspects in the crown jewel heist at the Louvre Museum. That makes a total of seven in custody. Christopher Marinello at Art Recovery International.
This is phenomenal police work on behalf of the French authorities. The only question is whether they have caught these people in time.
President Trump returning from Asia after agreeing with China's Xi Jinping to cut tariffs by 10% in exchange for a pledge on rare earths and U.S. soybeans.
I thought it was a great meeting. I think it was a very friendly meeting. It was a good meeting for two very large, powerful countries.
Meteorologist Craig Allen has an update on tumultuous weather in the Caribbean.
The hurricane warning has been issued for Bermuda, and the swells generated by Melissa will start to spread towards Bermuda over the next 24 hours or so. This is going to cause life-threatening surf and rip current conditions for the island.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Wisconsin Rapids School Board has approved the budget for the 2025-26 school year. Superintendent Ron Rasmussen said the preliminary budget was ready in June, but had to wait for the state budget to pass this summer.
In our district, we're about 35-40% funded by local tax dollars and the remaining generally from state aid. Unfortunately, in the state budget this year, the state aid was flat for schools, so a little bit of that shift did flow a little bit more on the local taxpayers.
Wisconsin Rapids is getting about $95,000 less in state aid this year, according to numbers released earlier this month from the State Department of Public Instruction. It's one of the 70% of school districts in the state facing a drop in state aid. And the district is facing a $3.5 million deficit next year as the referendum, which passed 5 years ago, ends. Residents will get a survey in November explaining the district's financial challenges.
In addition, we know we're a declining enrollment district, and looking at our facilities and how we can look at possible consolidation of facilities or possibly upgrading a few facilities so we can close other facilities.
Since 1999, the district has seen a fairly continuous decline in pre-K through 12 enrollment. The addition of a district-wide 4K program bumped the enrollment for two consecutive years in the early 2000s before continuing to decline. In the past 5 years, the enrollment numbers at Central Oak Academy Charter School have declined the most, while Rams and Howe have increased slightly. The survey explains what the impact would be for taxpayers if the district were to attempt another referendum.
The community survey is really laying out, trying to get some opinions, really planning our future for the district for the next 5, 10, 15 years.
The survey will be sent out to every household in the district next week, and it'll be due by November 24th. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Do the Bucks have a new leader? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. NBA, the Bucks' new center, Miles Turner, picked up in that trade with the Indiana Pacers, so far has done a lot to help set up his teammates with good shots. Is that a form of leadership? Head coach Doc Rivers.
It just tells you. It's funny talking to Reggie Miller before the game because he knows Indiana. He said, man, you like that leadership? I said, it's amazing. I said, I never knew. He said, no, that was the key for them. He was such a great leader.
The Bucks host the Golden State Warriors tonight. NFL, the Packers preparing to host the Carolina Panthers Sunday at noon. Quarterback Jordan Love named NFC Offensive Player of the Week. Love completed 20 passes in a row against the Steelers. Had he ever done that before in college or high school?
I don't know, honestly. I don't know who keeps stats like that in high school, so I don't know. I'm not sure.
Kids seem to know how many points they always score.
I don't know. Probably the first time ever, yeah.
That's Jordan Love with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Stay connected to the stories shaping your community and Wisconsin right here on WFHR and on the Civic Media app.
Partly to mostly cloudy today. Our high right around 52 here this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy, chilly. Our low dropping to around 33 tomorrow. Partly to mostly cloudy with a few sprinkles possible and a high right around 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Here is a list of trick-or-treat times happening on Friday, October 31st in the central Wisconsin area. Wisconsin Rapids, Grand Rapids, Buren, Nakusa, and Port Edwards, 5 to 7 p.m. Vesper and Rudolph, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. Pittsville, Stevens Point and Plover, 5 to 8 p.m. Adams and Friendship, 4 to 7 p.m. And don't miss the spooktacular trunk-or-treat event starting at 5 o'clock at the Sports Complex on 2401 Cedar Drive in Plover, hosted by the Plover Police and Fire Department, Plover Whiting Youth Athletics, and the Boys and Girls Club of Portage County.
The Dunks.
Driving down the lane to the rim, and he rips it down with a right hand.
The Daggers.
Got it! Got it! And a foul! John Blackwell is feeling it.
The exclamation points.
Jack on the run down the lane to the rim, and he sends it down!
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Again, and that's 100 for the Wisconsin Badgers.
You're on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, if only our cattle producers knew as much about cattle as that famous rancher Donald Trump. We talk to Wisconsin farmer Hans Breitenmoser about Argentinian beef.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Thursday morning, October 30th, 2025. October 30th. Happy birthday to my oldest daughter. It means I've been a parent for years. She's at that age now. You can't say that. My 8-year-old daughter, my 10-year-old daughter, now it's my 30-something daughter. So, happy birthday. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. Spending your mornings right here as we get set for Halloween, just one day away. November, just 2 days away. I got a question for you. Do you trust Joe Namath to sell you health insurance? Or Jimmy Walker, remember J.J. Walker from Good Times, or William Shatner from Star Trek, or some of the other, you know, D-list celebrities that are in these ads for health insurance through something called Medicare Advantage? If you're, you know, say under 50, you probably don't think about this at all. You probably don't notice the commercials one bit. But if you have a parent that is approaching, you know, 65, or if you yourself are getting there and you're starting to pay attention to this kind of stuff, like I am in my impending elderliness, and with a parent who just turned 80 and is looking at a Medicare Advantage plan that she'd had for years and is now being canceled. And so she and a whole bunch of other seniors around the country have to find new Medicare Advantage plans. I mean, everybody has to do a lot of homework real fast. So we've got an expert coming in today to talk about that at 7:35, and she'll tell us all about, you know, what to look for in Medicare. Now, let me back up a second here, because I don't blame you if you don't. Well, what's Medicare Advantage? Blah, blah, blah. Medicare, the actual Medicare, the thing that got set up back in the 60s, all right, was to make sure you've paid your taxes all your life, all your working years. And when you turn 65, your health care is just taken care of by and large. Well, somewhere along the line, some politicians allowed regular old insurance companies to sneak in there and offer their own plans and call it Medicare Advantage, even though it is nothing like regular Medicare. And the problem is, once you decide to go with one of those plans, it's tough to go back to original Medicare, and you're suddenly trapped in that web that you thought you got rid of when you retired and you could just get regular Medicare. So we're going to talk about the difference between regular Medicare versus these Medicare Advantage plans. They do have some, pun intended, advantages, but the disadvantages are something you really ought to consider before you put your name on the dotted line someplace. So stick around for that. That's coming up. We will also be talking to Sean O'Malley about your money in the markets. I got 5 trillion reasons for you to be concerned about a stock market bubble, because we hear all about, you know, how the stock market is going great guns right now, so the economy must be great. No, it's not. It's not. There is such a bubble brewing in AI right now, and Sean O'Malley is going to help share some of the warning signs with us. So that's coming up along the way as well. And of course, your input, which is always welcome by phone, by text, by comment, by email, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or use that Civic Media app to call us, to text us, to send us a voice note, or jump in the comment sections of Facebook or YouTube. That would be the Up North News Facebook or YouTube pages, or the Civic Media Facebook or YouTube pages. And it's on there where, let me bring the card up here on for social media, where people can see there's a lot fewer leaves here along Lake Wissota right now. Parker Olson joining us from Madison Studio A2, where I would imagine the leaves have been falling fast and furious by you as well.
Yes, they have. There are about no leaves on the tree I parked my car under.
There are about no leaves. Yeah, we're getting there rapidly. So I'm hoping for decent weather this weekend, because then it's just going to be me and a leaf blower. Just then you hear it all throughout the neighborhood, like, because raking stinks if you've got more than a postage stamp size lawn. So okay. if you can use power to get those leaves out of there, why the heck wouldn't you? So wow. we've got lovely fall weather out here.
I didn't know you felt so strongly about your leaf blower.
Come on, it's a lot of fun. I've done the raking thing, and I'm not immune.
Are too old.
These hands are so they're so dainty and delicate. And no. But they do, after a while, it's like, okay, this is getting old. Can we do something? It's about speed more than actually about power or hands or anything else. It's like, can we get this chore done with already? Especially if, I mean, it's one thing if you've got little kids. I remember having to rake all the leaves in a pile and the kids jump in. Oh, it's fun. It really is. It's great. Yeah. But at some point, you don't have that anymore, and you're just like, oh, let's just get these out of here, you know? And, you know, preferably in my case, down the bank, you know, close to the lake, but because I like both my neighbors on either side. But there have been years in the past with different neighbors.
Uh-oh.
It's like, oh, no, the wind was suddenly out of the east. I don't know how that happened. Oh, well.
Oops.
So.
That's a shame.
Look at me making trouble on the street here already. Let's see. We also have, well, you pay attention to the WIAC.
I do. Thank you. Okay. Pat, thank you. Thank you for saying WIAC.
Okay.
That is correct.
The Wisconsin Intergalactic Athletic Conference.
Oh, yes. Intergalactic. I like it.
So that'd be like your UW, Whitewater, Eau Claire, Platteville, things like that. And apparently, does somebody else not say WIAC?
A lot. This is a massive debate in like the Division III community of whether it's WIAC or WEAC.
No, WEAC is the teachers union, WEAC, the Wisconsin Education Association Council. That's WEAC. I have never heard the WIAC called the WEAC. So who's ever doing that needs to sit down. That's just wrong.
I want you to know I'm clipping this and I am sending it to my friends.
Good.
Because this is very important.
It's not just important, kids. It's basic.
It is.
It's basic.
It is.
It's the WIAC. Anyway, Platteville from the WIAC was the opponent for the Wisconsin Badgers in this year's Guardian Against Cancer Classic. I might have the name wrong on that, but, you know. The Guard Brothers were coaches, the respective coaches at Madison and Platteville. And how did I assume the Badger men prevailed in this instance?
The Badgers did win. I don't think it was as pretty as they wanted it to be.
Here it is, 69-53, Badgers over Platteville. Yeah. Final tune-up game for the Badgers before their season begins next Monday against, of course, the Fighting Camels of Campbell University.
Darn right.
Which I'm never going to take seriously. Unless, of course, the Badgers manage to lose next Monday. Then it's a whole different thing. But Badgers begin the regular season next week. And you said Platteville actually put up a bit of a fight?
I believe so, yeah. I think I read that they actually were up, like, 8-0 or something like that.
I can see that. I mean, there was the one year, you know, they rotate schools, and one year it was UW-Eau Claire, and we went down to Madison to see the Blue Golds play, you know, the Badgers. And, of course, the Badgers ultimately prevailed. But you get that false sense of security when the Badgers are just kind of doing their rope-a-dope strategy and just letting, you know, seeing what the other team has got. So I'm sure the Platteville fans enjoyed that. But yes, in the end, ultimately, the Badger men were victorious, as were the Toronto Blue Jays, who beat the LA Dodgers 6-1 last night to come within a game of clinching the World Series. Game 6 will be tomorrow night as Team Canada and team
team
America,
everyone but LA.
Team everyone but LA, actually. Yes. Roots for Toronto in tomorrow night's game. The Dodgers looked so quiet last night in the parts that I saw. The ones where we're watching the Brewers going, come on, guys. Come on, guys. Come on, guys. And you could just, they kept doing cutaways of the crowd, the Dodger crowd, just all looking like, come on, guys. Come on, guys. Anytime, guys.
Please.
And it was like they ran out of gas. They're just done. Now, can they pull off one game, much less two in Canada? Sure, it's possible. I mean, we've seen that lineup. We see what it can do. But at this point, Toronto definitely has the momentum. And that would be all right with us, you know.
Yeah. I'm okay with the Blue Jays winning. Yeah.
Yeah, we can do that. Let's see, one news clip to tell you about, and then we're going to hear from Sherita Booker as we talk about weekend events that you might consider attending at points around Wisconsin this weekend. But as the government shutdown drags on, and we look back at the record of what some of these folks in Congress have had to say, you know, in the past about government shutdowns and budgets and things like that, something really grabbed our attention from Western Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden, who, like others, tries to do this job of pretending to be a moderate, pretending to call out the right wing of his party, when in fact he is a, you know, dues-paying member of the right wing of his party. But he was on something called the John Frederick Show in December of last year. So they knew they were about to take control of Congress. Donald Trump had just won the presidential election. They were going to have the House and the Senate and the White House. And this is what Congressman Derek Van Orden had to say about being in the majority, and therefore they were able to pass a budget. They were going to do whatever it is they wanted to do. And if they couldn't get their stuff together, well, then by gum, they, you know, they should pay a price for that. Listen to what Derek Van Orden had to say.
When we have unified government, I'll be very clear about this. When we have unified government, if we cannot get our 12 appropriations bills through in a budget, then we don't deserve to be in the majority any longer. We don't. You know, I don't sugarcoat anything. And I'll take the paint off anybody that is talking smack about these sorts of things. That includes members of my own party. So a lot of the reasons you got to understand that we didn't get a lot of things done was because of members of the Republican Party. Some of our far right guys held things up in the Rules Committee. They voted against rules if the rule passed, and they prevented a lot of these measures getting through. So that's true. The other side of the coin is anything we do has to get through the Senate, which was controlled by Chuck Schumer. It still is until we get through January. So I'll say that again real clear. When we have unified government, if we can't get our 12 appropriations bills through and a budget passed, then we do not deserve to be in the majority, period.
I'm Derek Van Orden, and I approve this message. There, game, set, match from Derek Van Orden himself. If they can't get their 12 appropriations bills, because if you don't know the background, there isn't like one federal budget bill. It's broken up into pieces called appropriations bills. There's 12 of them total. Some pass ahead of others because some need more debate, et cetera, et cetera. They can't do any of that. They passed the one big bloated boondoggle because it wasn't a full federal budget. It was just a roadmap of, you know, trillions of dollars in cuts to make to give tax cuts to the very wealthy. Big time cuts in Medicaid and in SNAP. SNAP benefits are going to run out this weekend, even though they don't have to, because there's a multi-billion dollar contingency fund that the Trump administration is refusing to use. They actually want families to go hungry, to put pressure on Democrats to cave in and let Republicans jack up health insurance costs under the Affordable Care Act. And Derek Van Orden is telling you, well, once we're in control, if we can't get those appropriations bills passed, if we are that dysfunctional, we should not be in the majority. So that's an interesting bit of audio that is not the last time you're going to hear that played. That basically is the 2026 message about how the Republicans have done in Washington so far. Temperatures in Wisconsin range from 23 in Merrill to 43 in Door County. It's 34 in Wausau, 37 in Oshkosh, 34 in La Crosse, and 27 degrees here in the Chippewa Valley. Sharita Booker tells us about trains, wine, and lizards for weekend events, all after the break. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You could think you found your dream home online. The kitchen island looks perfect for your inner chef. The backyard, a paradise for your green thumb. And that extra room, hello walk-in closet. But here's the twist. The lot next door just got rezoned for years of construction. And this sound, yeah, you're going to be hearing a lot of that. Don't let your dream home turn into a nightmare. Work with the expertise and ethical training of a realtor, here to guide and help protect you from the surprises you didn't see coming. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors, right by you.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Air pollution leads to higher rates of breast cancer, according to a new study from researchers in Oregon. They found women living in areas with heavy emissions from cars and trucks are more likely to develop breast cancer. The Trump administration recently rescinded EPA rules meant to reduce vehicle emissions. Wisconsin's small farming communities bracing for the end of federal food share benefits. Not only do thousands of rural residents rely on federal food assistance, about $120 million of Wisconsin's food share benefits are spent at local farmers' markets. Bragging rights for Wisconsin apples, an organic orchard in Washington County named one of the top 10 apple orchards in the country by USA Today. Peck and Bushel Fruit Company in Colgate is the largest organic apple orchard in the upper Midwest. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Daylight saving time ends this weekend. Don't forget to set your clocks back 1 hour before you go to bed Saturday night. Fall back and enjoy an extra hour of rest. A message from your local Civic Media radio station.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers. Here's...
Hey, welcome back on this Thursday morning. Sharita Booker is here, social media manager for Up North News. And, well, we're going to throw a little curve at you. Sharita, first off, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. We normally talk about events that are coming up this weekend that you might like to attend. But we've discovered something else you might like to attend. Your local Culver's for something brand new that they're offering. What did you tell me they're about to offer?
They will have cheese and mac, aka mac and cheese, beginning November 3rd through December 28th.
Okay. I have, and first off, look, fair disclosure, this is not a commercial for Culver's. They're not paying us or anything. So therefore, I feel like I'm entitled or free to say I'm not the world's biggest fan of Culver's cheese curds. I love all the rest of everything else.
Same. I don't like the breading.
Yes. And so, You say that they're doing mac and cheese, or I'm sorry, cheese and mac, and I see that it's going to be, you know, just their pasta in a creamy Wisconsin cheddar cheese sauce topped with extra shredded cheddar cheese. And I'm in because, as I've said several times before, there are a lot of other places, Michigan, Texas, Idaho, other places where mac and cheese as a side is like a real staple. You don't see it quite as much around Wisconsin. And so if Culver's wants to add mac and cheese, however limited, I'm in. I'll go.
Right. Well, we'll have to come back with reviews.
yeah, exactly. So when does this get started?
November 3rd.
November 3rd. Okay. Well, there we go. So next week, we'll have to do a food review, see how this works out. All right. So pardon that little detour. Let's get back to this weekend's events here, starting with Train Fest. And as a guy whose dad worked on the Chicago Northwestern Railroad for many years, I am totally in on this. Tell us more.
Yeah, so if you or someone in your house is into trains like Pat, or you really like seeing cool setups, Train Fest is coming back to Milwaukee this Saturday and Sunday at the Barrett Center downtown. They're going to have more than 50 operating train displays, hands-on demos, and a bunch of the major model railroad manufacturers and dealers all in one place. There's also a mini diorama circus activity if you want to try building something small. And they also got a free riding train for the kids. So if you've been thinking about starting a layout, or you've got a kid who loves trains, this is the spot. Kids 12 and under get in free with an adult, which is nice. Adults tickets are $18.95 for Saturday and $13.95 for Sunday. Or you can do a two-day pass for $20. Tickets are on sale now. Just search Train Fest Milwaukee for more info.
I really wanted to have model trains as a kid. And, you know, we were just a little too limited in our means to do that. And I always appreciated it. You'd think it's my retirement project. I'm going to have room in the garage or the basement or something. Sherry, if you're listening, we'll talk later. So,
and the grandkids will probably love it.
Oh, would they ever? Yes. So that's the Baird Center. This weekend, trainfest.com has details there. All right, let's go from trains to lizardy type things. What's happening in Madison this weekend?
The Scaled Up Reptile Expo is happening this Sunday at the Madison Marriott West in Middleton. It's a family-friendly event where you can see thousands of snakes, lizards, frogs, tortoises, turtles, and tarantulas all under one roof. You can talk with experienced breeders and keepers, learn how to care for different species, and check out setups if you've been thinking about getting a new pet or upgrading your enclosure. They'll also have a bunch of reptile keeping supplies, feeder insects, frozen feeders, supplements, decor, plants, and more. Admission is $14 if you want to get in early for VIP at 10 a.m. or general admission is $7 and runs from 11 to 3. And kids 5 and under get in free. So for more information, visit scaledupexpos.com/Madison-WI.
Okay, so where are you on reptiles?
It's no for me. The only reptile that I like is a gecko. They're cute, but I'm scared of stuff like that.
No, it's understandable. I mean, I wouldn't rush out to get a snake or a lizard or a frog or a tarantula myself. I remember going to somebody's house, and this was only a couple of years back. So these are like grown adults, and their basement was filled with aquariums that were filled with larger snakes. And that was just not my jam at all. But
yeah, I go fishing and we see frogs all the time. And I don't like frogs. I don't like how they look, and they freak me out.
All right. So you, there will be extra room for you. There will not be any Sherita at the Madison Scaled Up Reptile Expo this weekend. Let's get to something much more in some people's ballparks. That would be wine. And there is a wine walk in downtown Lake Geneva this weekend, Sunday only, right?
Yep. Only Sunday. Okay. And you'll spend the afternoon walking around downtown, stopping into different shops and sampling wine at nearly 30 different participating spots along the way. It's a really laid back way to explore the area, and you get to support local businesses while you're at it. Tickets are $45, which covers your wine samples, a souvenir glass, snacks, and a map of the stops, and a few discounts at participating shops. If you're just tagging along and don't plan a drink, they have a designated driver ticket for $20, and that includes craft sodas and snacks. Proceeds from the benefit goes to Downtown Lake Geneva Mural Program, so the money goes right back into the community and into more public art downtown. And just a heads up, the wine walk always sells out, so if you want to get your tickets, do it ASAP. You need to be 21 or older, and you'll check in at the bottle shop on Main Street to get your glass and lanyard. Get your tickets at downtownlakegeneva.org/winewalk.
That's great. And of course, there's so much else going on around the state. If you went over to travelwisconsin.com, you'd see things like the Broadhead Jaycees have a holiday market. Case High School Craft and Vendor Fair is in Racine on Saturday. Marinette has blues, brews, and barbecues, and so much more. So head on over to travelwisconsin.com to learn more about things that are going on in your area. Or just go grab some mac and cheese, and we'll all compare notes, Culver's and otherwise, when we get together next week with Sherita Booker, our social media manager here at Up North News. Sherita, thank you very much.
Thanks, Pat.
Oh, I guess I should mention, too, in terms of social media, we have new social media accounts just for the radio show on Blue Sky. And, yeah, we put it on Twitter, X, whatever it is. Just look up at the little at symbol, PK for Pat Kreitlow, radio show, PK radio show. That's our new account there. Coming up next, Our history lesson includes the opening of a Broadway play that definitely made the characters popular. Thanks for spending some time here up on the lake. I'm Pat Kreitlow. The Midwest Farm Report is next here on the Media Radio Network. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Get updates on what's happening in your community right to your phone through the Civic Media app. Select WFHR in the app and the news comes to you.
28 days and counting. That's how long the federal government has been shut down, tying up not only federal agencies like the U.S. Department of Agriculture, but also policy advancement like a new farm bill. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday. The National Farmers Union thinks that the farm bill can cross the finish line yet this year. Details on that next.
From sugar beet fields to dairy facilities, producers count on an operating line of credit from Ag Country Farm Credit Services to help make their operations more profitable. With multi-year commitment options, digital tools and remote deposit, and the ability to only borrow what you need when you need it, our operating line of credit makes financing your needs easier. Visit agcountry.com/lineofcredit or call 800-450-9858 to learn more. Terms apply. See website for details.
Wisconsin native Mike Strands is the vice president of advocacy for the National Farmers Union. Their focus right now is on key policy priorities, including the urgent need for a new farm bill. Strands, who's vice president of advocacy, says several critical policy issues are still unresolved, and the organization right now working to make sure producers' voices are heard.
Given the circumstances with the farm economy, that yes, there should be some sort of assistance provided to family farmers and ranchers because of the trade disruptions, but that ought to be part of a greater picture about farm policy reform and farm policy improvements that could happen through a farm bill negotiation that might happen here this fall. We've heard Chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, G.T. Thompson, speak about his interest in having a farm bill markup in the House side. I think moving forward with something like that is a great opportunity to make some of these changes, and we ought to take a look at the whole picture.
That's Wisconsin native Mike Strands, who is the vice president of advocacy for the National Farmers Union. He says given the fact that the farm bill has expired already, it's the third year in a row where that's happened to the farm bill. He believes that there's an opportunity by the end of this year or early in 2026 to still get something done on the rest of the farm bill.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick? How did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop bill? Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel. All in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
And 10 Wisconsin FFA members are continuing in competition at the National FFA Convention in Indianapolis. They are now a part of the final phase of evaluation for National Agricultural Proficiency Awards. You want to follow along? FFA.org has the latest update. There's your look at food news. I'm Pam Yonke.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
Partly to mostly cloudy today, our high right around 52 here this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy, chilly, our low dropping to around 33. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with a few sprinkles possible and a high right around 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrics, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll, I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Immigrants seeking naturalization as U.S. citizens will now need to answer twice as many questions correctly as before the Trump administration. Can I pass it? Find out. Join us next time.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
When the truth is found to be.
Let us kick off today's history lesson with Grace Slick from Jefferson Airplane, Jefferson Starship, Starship, all the band names. She kept her Grace Slick. She's 85 years old today. And again, would be one of the first to tell you, surprised to make it to 85. Lived the true rock and roll life from the 60s onward. But again, 85 years old for Grace Slick. Happy birthday to her. Happy birthday to Eddie Holland, part of the legendary songwriting and production team of Holland Dozier Holland, all kinds of Motown hits. There was Baby Love. There was Stop in the Name of Love, Heat Wave, How Sweet It Is to Be Loved by You. How about this one right here? There were a lot of hits they wrote for the Supremes. Standing in the Shadows of Love, and so forth and so on. Eddie Holland still with us at the age of 84. And I was seeing somewhere online that the Motown Museum is expanding in Detroit. And they recently had a bit of a celebration about that. And it included, some of the greats that were there. Smokey Robinson, of course. Both Brian and Eddie Holland were there. Otis Williams, the surviving member of the Temptations, and more. So I've never been to the Motown Museum, so hearing that they're doing an expansion, just all the more reason to look forward to going to that someday.
There you go. More to see, more to do.
Uh-huh. Well, because it was based out of basically just a house, Detroit, and then they turned it into a record studio, and then it became so much more. Speaking of Otis Williams, last surviving member of the Temptations, it's his birthday as well. He's 84 as well. He and Eddie Holland, born on the same day. Also, happy birthday to the Eagles' Timothy B. Schmidt. He is 78 years old today. Now I found you. There's no more emptiness inside. When we're hungry, love will keep us alive. All right, here comes another one of those birthdays that for some generations it will make their knees buckle.
Uh-oh.
Henry Winkler, the Fonz, Fonzie from Happy Days, is 80 years old today. Can you just imagine the Fonz still in his leather jacket, but in his rocking chair and saying, hey, the Fonz don't need those Medicare Advantage plans. But he does. I think Henry Winkler does some kind of commercials, if not for Medicare Advantage, then for something else.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. He's pitching some. I mean, look, if you're an aging celebrity, there's always something to pitch out there. So I'll have to take a look for that. Anyway, Henry Winkler, 80 years old. And by the way, so much more than just the Fonz, of course. He's been in so many good shows. What was the most recent one about Barry was the name of it, right? On HBO, he's the acting coach to a serial killer, basically.
Yeah, you're right, Barry. Yep.
Yeah, it's a good show with... Who's it from Saturday Night Live? Who's Bill Hader is the lead in this. And Henry Winkler is just really funny. By the way, also underrated in Night Shift, along with Michael Keaton, one of their earliest movies together right after Happy Days. Ivanka Trump, first daughter, is 44 years old today. The second president of the United States, John Adams, was born this day in 1735. Do you have that clip from War of the Worlds?
I do. I don't know if there's a specific part. I just pulled from the front.
Okay. I don't know if I wanted to cue it up to anything. I just noticed that today is the anniversary of Orson Welles' radio adaptation of the H.G. Wells novel War of the Worlds about a Martian invasion. It was played on the radio this day in 1938 and caused panic in some parts of the U.S. So here's a little excerpt from it.
The broadcasting system and its affiliated stations present Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the air in The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells.
Okay, so that was the very beginning of it, and it starts like a, you know, just a normal radio broadcast with an orchestra, and then they're interrupted with these news bulletins about, you know, a UFO, and then a spaceship has landed, and then, you know, the Martians attack, and of course there's all the sound effects, and people really believed that there was an invasion by Martians. But as you could tell there, at the front end of the broadcast and in the middle of the broadcast, an announcer did come on to say, this is a play. And yet, enough people either didn't hear it or disregarded it and were calling police stations, and people were getting a little freaked out. Now, it's a little bit apocryphal whether the panic was widespread or if it was just a few random folks who, you know, were freaked out by this. But still, it was a lesson that everybody else in the radio industry never forgot.
Yeah. I always thought that it was like everyone was like, oh, God, the world's ending. Run.
I remember hearing, not the original broadcast, don't joke about that, but as a kid, they played it one Halloween night after we got back from trick-or-treating. And I remember listening to it. And again, you know, you knew what it was, but I'm sitting there as like a 10-year-old or whatever it was. I'm like, oh, yeah, I could totally see how people get freaked. I'm getting a little freaked out, and I know that this isn't real, you know? Because, you know, keep in mind, radio was still relatively new. So,
yeah, I suppose.
And obviously people have tried that with TV as well over the years. But War of the Worlds was kind of the original panic broadcast, if you will. On this day in 1982, the number one song was by a band from Australia. This, of course, would be Men at Work, and it was the group's first number one in the U.S.
Who can it be knocking at my door?
Who Can It Be Now was the number one song this day, 43 years ago. On this day in 1987, George Michael, fresh off breaking up Wham!, released his first solo album, Faith. People are here. Oh, the album's named Faith, and it starts off with this nice church organ. This must be very wholesome.
Oh, yeah. It's very pretty.
It is very pretty. It's pretty, but the host now suddenly wishes he'd have queued this up to the right moment, but that's okay. We'll just enjoy the organ a little bit longer.
Yeah. Who doesn't like a good organ? Wait a minute.
That's what he... Never mind.
Well, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body.
So anyway, between this song and songs like Father Figure, I Want Your Sex, and more, the album was a little controversial and therefore, of course, went to number one and won the Grammy Award for Album of the Year. On this day 2 years ago, former basketball player Magic Johnson became the fourth athlete to become a billionaire after Michael Jordan, LeBron James, and Tiger Woods, according to Forbes magazine.
Okay. Does this count?
What do you mean?
Because, yes, he was an athlete, but he's not an athlete now. I don't feel like this counts as the same as, like, LeBron James being a billionaire.
Well, I don't think Michael Jordan didn't become a billionaire while he was an active athlete.
Okay, so he wouldn't count either.
Yeah. No, he does count of athletes who, as athletes and in their retirement, became billionaires.
Mm. I don't know.
You only want active athlete billionaires? Is that what we want?
Well, no, I don't want any billionaires.
Oh,
but I would like these to be two different categories.
Gotcha. All right. It was on this day in 2003 that a new Broadway show premiered at the Gershwin Theater in New York City. It was a musical from Stephen Schwartz, and it was called Wicked, with Idina Menzel and Kristen Chenoweth, with lots of little toe tappers like this one.
Be popular.
You're gonna be popular. I'll teach you the proper poise when you talk to boys. Little ways to flirt and flounce. Ooh, I'll show you what
so,
things to wear.
So, Wicked is now going to be back in the movie theaters, part two of the movie series. The play, though, that did all right in 2003, winning two Tony Awards, a Grammy, and seven Drama Desk Awards. On this day in 2017, President Trump's former campaign chair, Paul Manafort, and associate Rick Gates were indicted on charges of fraud. Advisor George Papadopoulos pleads guilty to lying to the FBI. Again, pleads guilty to lying to the FBI. And they are all pretty much scot-free now because, again, elect a criminal. You're letting the criminals out of jail. What's on the National Day calendar for this Thursday, October 30th?
Oh, Pat, I know you'll love this. It's Candy Corn Day.
Okay, well, I feel like we've talked that one to death yesterday. But, yes, the guy who for years and years and years and years said, I hate candy corn. Candy corn is terrible. It's just a big old mouthful of sugar is softening his stance now. So,
wow.
I know. What I didn't do yet, what we talked about yesterday, is I said, yeah, you mix it with some peanuts, you know, and you got a salted nut roll.
Oh, yeah.
But remember we said yesterday, now add a couple of chocolate chips to the mix and you got a Baby Ruth. So I'm going to try that today, and then I'm going to call my dentist office right away for a cleaning.
You know, there is a candy corn that has chocolate, like, in it. That one I'm not a huge fan of.
No, I don't know if that would work.
No.
But I'm willing to experiment. All right, ooh, what else we got today? Go.
It is Mischief Night, which I believe is just the night before Halloween.
Mischief Night?
Mischief Night. So if you're feeling mischievous, Pat,
okay,
go
I
for
thought
it.
I thought that's what Halloween was, but okay.
Eh, you know, right, whatever. Okay. It is also a haunted refrigerator. I do have hunted refrigerator there, but I'm pretty sure that's a typo.
Haunted refrigerator. This has got to be from having really old food in it.
That
kind of haunted, like it's so scary, the stuff that's in there that has expired.
I envisioned that, or it's just like a loud refrigerator.
That could be too. Yes, I get that. So somebody came up with a National Haunted Refrigerator Day.
There you go.
Okay. seems like a bit of a stretch, but yes, there are folks whose refrigerators do indeed become haunted. I recall a couple of times when I was, you know, I would do babysitting as like, you know, a 12, 13 year old, whatever it was, because you couldn't drive yet. You couldn't go anywhere. So you may as well make money. And so I'd do some babysitting, and occasionally, you know, you'd kind of want to raid their fridge. They always say, oh, help yourself to whatever. I'd help myself to a big old plate of mold, you know, or whatever was in there. And gosh, I remember at one point, somebody's fridge was so disgusting. And do you know there's an episode of Big Bang Theory early on where Sheldon convinces Leonard to go into Penny's apartment while she's sleeping to clean it up because the mess bothers him so much.
Yeah.
I look back at that now and realize that may have happened once or twice where I was so disgusted by somebody's fridge. I just went ahead and cleaned it out and figured I was doing them a favor. Now, at no point did I ever get a call going, what did you do? You touched my fridge, blah, blah, blah. So I'm assuming they were, I thought, oh, they must be thankful.
Yeah.
I also think they may have been really embarrassed and never called me again to babysit.
That's also
perfect. Whatever the reason was, I was looking out for the kids. I'm trying to babysit the kids. You can't have living lab experiments in the fridge when you're raising your chitlins. All right. So there you go. Haunted Refrigerator Day today. We'll be talking about a little bit of entertainment news along the way as well. And then coming up in our 7 o'clock hour, we will be discussing Medicare Advantage plans. Some of those can be haunted as well, with an expert on making sure you get the right health coverage for yourself or for an aging parent. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Just not quite as popular.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Scott Hansen, host of NFL Red Zone. Lowe's knows Sundays hit different when you earn them. We've got you covered with outdoor power equipment from Kobalt and everything you need to weatherproof your deck with Trex decking. Plus, with lawn care from Scott's and, of course, Pit Boss grills and accessories, you can get a home field advantage all season long. So get to Lowe's, get it done, and earn your Sunday. Lowe's, official partner of the NFL.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In 1944, when Franklin Roosevelt said he would run for a fourth term, discussions began on a constitutional amendment to limit a U.S. president to two terms in office. In 1951, the 22nd Amendment was ratified. Now, a Tennessee congressman wants to repeal it. Would it actually be possible for Donald Trump to be president again? January 23rd, Representative Andy Ogles introduced a joint resolution proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the United States to provide that no person shall be elected to the office of the president more than three times. While the resolution received a lot of attention, constitutional amendments require a two-thirds majority in Congress and be ratified by three-quarters of the states, neither of which is likely. Trump himself has flirted with the idea of staying in the presidency. The Hill reported Trump told GOP leaders, quote, "I suspect I won't be running again unless you do something. Unless you say, he's so good, we just have to figure it out." A recent Politico article explained another scenario where a loophole in the 22nd Amendment could allow another presidential candidate to run with Donald Trump as vice president. The new president would then step down, allowing Trump to become president again. A 1999 Minnesota Law Review article discusses this and other such vaguely legal maneuvers as well. Unlikely, yes. Out of the question, no. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Good morning and welcome to The Kitchen's Open on WFHR, sponsored by The Hotel Mead. Treat yourself to a cozy staycation in one of their 150 guest rooms and suites that combine the timeless charm of a historic hotel with sleek, modern decor.
Yeah.
Beth, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I real quickly want to jump in real fast and congratulate you and the cast of Rumors.
Heard great things about it.
Nice work. Way to break a leg.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was well received. It was so great for that, for Amherst and for the community.
Awesome.
So it was a lot of fun.
Very awesome. Good to hear.
So last week I shared some great Halloween recipes that kids will love and are easy to help them, have them help make as well. And these recipes were so tempting that one of our listeners actually made them for a church fellowship time
this last weekend.
Cool.
She made those witch's hats and said that the most challenging thing was piping the ribbon onto the kiss.
Sure.
So everything else was great and the kids loved them. So
it was
a success. So you can still find that on our archive and we have links to that as well.
Yeah.
So this week, as we get towards the spooky holiday, we're turning our attention to the more grotesque displays that will trick the eyes and treat your party guests to some ghoulishly good food.
Mm.
So the first is a sight that will be looking right back at you.
Mm-hmm.
They are mozzarella, Halloween mozza eye appetizers.
Okay.
Right in my wheelhouse. Oh, I love this one.
So are you buying the pearls? Yeah, okay.
Yes. So for the recipe, you will need mozzarella balls, which are the perfect circles of cheese, mm-hmm. prosciutto to wrap around the eyes, and black olives to create the pupils.
Ghoulish is right.
Yeah. This one, you look at them and you actually think they're eyes.
Yep.
Especially if you wrap them right.
With the prosciutto? Yeah. Yep.
And again, we're going to include a link so that you can actually see what they look like and how they look back at you. So to make them, it's easy, but make sure that you drain the cheese balls before you use them. Mm-hmm. All right. So they're not so quite slippery in your hands.
That might be a good thing to remember.
Yeah. And I think the ones that you're looking for are the pearls, unless you want a really big one.
These are actually bigger. They're good size. They're making it
like a full-size mozzarella ball.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, this isn't just little ones that you would put on something to be eyes. These are just eyes themselves.
That's big.
So the recipe goes like this. Use a sharp knife to carve out a space into each mozzarella ball for a black olive slice to rest. Tear the prosciutto into strips and wrap one around each ball. Ooh. Slice a few black olives with the whole intact and place that black olive slice into each of the cheesy eyeballs. Then you serve them in a small dish with skewers for picking up each of the balls.
Okay.
This thing's really going to be, it feels like it's judging you as you're eating it. It feels a little bit like it's kind of, you're pulling it up to your mouth. That's awesome.
Yeah. Because the prosciutto is big. I would say the pearls would be more fun because then you could give a pair of them as an appetizer.
You could. Skewer right through both of them.
Exactly.
This just looks like one of them got pecked right out of your
nice
socket.
Big ol', yep.
They sound really good.
And I mean, they're good to eat. You know, who doesn't like mozzarella and prosciutto
it's all good stuff.
You know, anything like that. It's
extra little salt with the olive. It's tasty.
Mozzarella's the greatest cheese.
Yeah. Well, you eat especially first with your eyes. So if you can get past the goriness of it, you'll
there's
enjoy
the challenge, huh?
Yeah, you'll enjoy the delectability of it. So our next recipe isn't as realistic, but it does lend itself to a more spooky vibe. Okay. They are super easy mummy hot dogs with arms and legs.
Okay.
All right. So the recipe only has two ingredients, 10 hot dogs and one roll of crescent dough.
Okay.
Makes it easy.
Yeah.
You're going to want to preheat your oven to 350 degrees. You're going to cut all of your hot dogs to have two arms. And to do that, you're going to use a sharp knife to cut from the center of the hot dog up an inch. You're going to make one slit of about a quarter inch width up toward the tip without going actually to the tip because you don't want to take it off.
Because you're making legs.
These are the arms.
Oh, sure.
So you take them in there.
Oh, yeah, because you're going that
way. So do the same thing on the opposite side going towards that same tip of the hot dog, and these should start to look like little arms.
Your little arms sticking out.
That top tip is going to be your head. And then you're going to cut all of the hot dogs to have two legs. And to do that, you're going to slice from the center down to the opposite end, the opposite tip of the hot dog. And that's going to create your two legs. So once all of your hot dogs are cut up and ready, you're going to lightly grease a baking sheet and set it aside so that you have a place to put those mummies, those
once
hot dogs, once
up.
You've wrapped them up. That's right. So once all, then you're going to unroll your crescent dough and onto the cutting board and cut the sheet into thin strips, about a quarter of an inch thick, you know, an eighth to a quarter, just thin strips.
Sure.
It's easy if you get a pizza slicer.
Oh,
because then you can just slice it right down there.
Absolutely.
And it makes it easy. And especially if you put just a little bit of flour on that slicer, it won't get caught on the
dough. So they're not sticky. Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good tip.
So if you do that, and then what you're going to do is you're going to wrap your cut up hot dogs using one strip at a time. Mm-hmm. And you're going to make sure to gently wrap the arms and legs separately as well so that they look like the arms and the legs.
And
so you're going to get in between.
Spread, so don't put them too close to.
But you need to get them in between that slice that you've created and the center of the hot dog.
Yeah.
So once you've done that and you've wrapped all of them, you're going to make your hot, that'll make your hot dogs look human-like with arms and legs. Each of the dogs turned into a mummy and you place it on your greased baking sheet. Start wrapping your next hot dogs. You're going to do it and repeat until those hot dogs are wrapped. You're going to bake them at 350 degrees for 15 minutes or until the crust is golden brown and cooked through.
Nice.
And then let your hot dogs cool for 15 minutes. Serve them with ketchup and mustard.
Or whatever you want your hot
dog. Or whatever
dog with.
You want. So you have a bloody
it's
mummy.
A hot dog.
Yeah.
Delicious.
So
I'm enjoying these, Beth. I think they're great. They also sound like they taste really good and everything. Yep. I have to ask, do these sound interesting to you? Do you? I love that you're doing these, but I have to say that your reactions to them don't seem like you would try them. They'd be anything you'd enter them.
Well, I like the taste of them, and I think that would be fun to try. I don't know that I'm all that into eyeballs. But I love mozzarella cheese when I can have it. Mm-hmm. The hot dog ones, I think, are going to be great for the boys. Mm. That sounds like it would be a great, like, adult party kind of favor. So mm-hmm. those we might actually try because my boys love hot dogs. And you can choose whichever kind of hot dogs mm-hmm. you want.
Well, and I think the hot dogs would be a perfect one for, like, if you're entertaining.
Yes.
Because it's, I mean, pigs in a blanket aren't hard to make. This is just an extra step or two.
Exactly. It's the Halloween tank on pigs in a blanket.
It's a ready to go. I mean, shoot, you could even just cut the hot dog in half, skip the legs, and just do a head with arms.
Yes.
And then it's smaller and, you know, just like that.
Thank you for listening to WFHR and WIRI Studios. For more information or for the rest of our content, you can visit WFHR.com, WIRI.FM, or the Civic Media app.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A new development in the crown jewel heist at the Louvre Museum in Paris. The BBC's Hugh Schofield.
Five more people have been arrested. Now, one of these people is believed to have been in the gang, in the group of four who carried out the robbery.
Still no sign of the missing gems. President Trump's in Alaska on his way home from Asia, where he reached an agreement with Xi Jinping on lowering U.S. tariffs on China in exchange for more rare earth exports and resumption of American soybean purchases. About U.S. tensions over Taiwan.
It never came up. Taiwan never came up. It's not discussed, actually.
He says it never came up. Hurricane Melissa headed for the Bahamas now after leaving Haiti, Jamaica, and Cuba in shambles. CBS New York meteorologist Tony Sidiku.
Still a Category 2 hurricane this morning with top winds 105 miles an hour.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.